Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for tuning in to episode 452. Today, we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, July 9th, 2026.
We have a really packed show today. We are looking at a massive and highly controversial privacy vote in the EU, some serious open source drama between the creator of Zig and the founder of Bun, the quiet drop of GPT 5.6, a fascinating architectural rewrite of Postgres in Rust, and a fun new word game that sparked a surprisingly deep debate about game design.
Let us kick things off with the top story of the day, which pulled in over 1,200 points. The European Parliament has officially greenlit Chat Control 1.0. This is a big one, Sarah, and the Hacker News community was absolutely buzzing about it, mostly with outrage.
Yeah, the details here are wild. So Chat Control 1.0 is a measure that allows for the suspicionless mass scanning of private communications. What's crazy is that the EU Parliament had already rejected this twice back in March. But it just passed, and it is going to be permitted again until 2028 as an interim regulation.
The way it passed is what really set off the commenters. A user named T-Kurt pointed out the sheer absurdity of the democratic process here. A majority of voting members actually opposed the regulation. 314 voted against it, 276 in favor. But because of the specific parliamentary rules, the motion to reject it failed to secure the required absolute majority of 361 votes. So because they could not get a majority to officially reject it, it passes.
And it gets worse when you look at the timing. A commenter named Spikles brought some incredible context to the thread. This vote took place on the very last day of the session when many members of parliament had already left for summer vacation. Over 100 members didn't even vote. On top of that, the vote was called only 2 days prior as an urgent procedure, which caused another 73 members to miss it. Normally, this stuff takes months of procedure before a final vote.
It feels like a textbook example of political railroading. Patrick Breyer, a civil rights activist and former member of the European Parliament, was quoted in the article calling it a farce that damages democracy. He pointed out that trying to protect children with suspicionless mass surveillance is like frantically mopping the floor while the faucet is still running. It overwhelms the police with false alarms and doesn't actually solve the core issue.
Right, and the tech implications are messy. End-to-end encrypted chats like WhatsApp are technically exempt from these scans, but US tech companies are once again allowed to scan direct messages on platforms like Instagram, Discord, and Skype without a warrant. It sparked a massive debate in the comments about constitutional rights, with some European users lamenting that EU laws can sometimes effectively bypass national constitutional protections in practice. It is a grim day for privacy advocates, and definitely a story we will be keeping an eye on as the fight for the permanent Chat Control 2.0 starts up in September.
Moving from political drama to open source drama, our next story is a blog post from Andrew Kelly, the creator of the Zig programming language. The post is titled, "My Thoughts on the Bun Rust Rewrite," and it got nearly 700 points.
Oh man, this was spicy. For some background, Bun is a hugely popular JavaScript runtime that was originally written in Zig. Recently, Jared Sumner, the creator of Bun, announced they were rewriting it in Rust. Andrew Kelly wrote this post to essentially say, good riddance.
He did not hold back. Andrew talked about how Jared had this great beginner energy early on, moving fast and breaking things. But once Bun took venture capital money and became a startup called Oven, things changed. Andrew criticized the work-life balance expectations at Oven, calling Jared a stinky manager, unquote. He said the grapevine was full of stories about poor communication and unrealistic expectations.
But the real meat of the critique was about code quality. Andrew said the Zig team would read Bun's source code and be horrified by the practices. Hacks on top of hacks, abuse of assertions, and just recklessly speeding past features without eliminating technical debt. Andrew felt that Bun was becoming a liability for Zig's reputation, especially with people constantly screaming about memory safety these days. So when the Rust rewrite was announced, Andrew said he was metaphorically sipping tea from a mug that says, "It tastes like it's not my problem anymore."
That is such a brutal line. But the drama did not stop at the blog post. Jared Sumner actually showed up in the Hacker News comments to defend himself. Andrew had claimed in the post that the Bun team told them they were not fuzzing their Zig code, calling it an outright fabrication. Jared dropped into the thread with receipts, linking to a massive Fuzzily integration pull request and several other PRs fixing issues found by the fuzzer.
That sparked a massive semantic debate in the thread. Users started arguing what actually constitutes fuzzing. Some people argued that using a JavaScript engine fuzzer like Fuzzily to test the runtime API is technically integration testing, not low-level compiler fuzzing. But others pointed out that Jared's original blog post specifically said they were fuzzing Bun's runtime APIs with Fuzzily, so Andrew calling it a fabrication felt like a bad faith attack.
It really highlighted the cultural clash between a meticulous systems-level language creator who wants things done perfectly and a VC-backed startup founder who is optimizing for shipping features and raw speed. Both sides have valid points depending on your philosophy, but it is rare to see this level of dirty laundry aired out so publicly in the systems programming world.
Speaking of shipping fast, let us talk about OpenAI. They just dropped GPT 5.6, and it shot right to the top of Hacker News with almost 1,200 points. There was no massive keynote, just a developer guide update and a new model deployment.
What is really interesting here isn't just the model itself, but how OpenAI is telling developers to use it. A user named Mini Maxire dug into the new developer guide and pulled out some fascinating semantic tips. The biggest takeaway is that you need to use shorter prompts now. In their internal evaluations, replacing long, explicit system prompts with minimal ones actually improved scores by 10 to 15%, while cutting token costs by up to 67%.
That is a huge shift. For the last couple of years, prompt engineering has been all about these massive, hyper-detailed system instructions. Now OpenAI is saying the model is good enough to infer your underlying goal without you specifying every single step. But there is a catch that confused a lot of people in the comments. The guide explicitly says to avoid generic brevity instructions like be concise or keep it short.
Yeah, that part threw people for a loop. A commenter named Anti-Corporate pointed out that when they ask for a short answer, they just want to skip the fluff. OpenAI's new advice is to use prioritization instead. So rather than saying, make it short, you should say, lead with the conclusion, include supporting evidence, and omit secondary details.
It sparked a really good debate about whether these models are actually getting smarter or if the providers are just tweaking the parameters behind the scenes. A user named Cold Tea made a great point that the hosting side can change reasoning budgets, temperature, output length limits, and hidden internal prompts, all while serving it under the same model name. It is a good reminder that we are interacting with a highly curated service, not just raw neural weights. But overall, developers seem thrilled about the prospect of lower token costs and less prompt babysitting.
Let's get into some deep database architecture. Our next story is about a project called PGRust, which is Postgres rewritten in Rust. It's now passing 100% of the Postgres regression tests, which is a massive milestone. This got almost 600 points.
The author of the project, who goes by Mollisper, actually jumped into the comments to explain the vision. This is not just a blind rewrite. They are using AI-assisted programming to explore deep architectural changes to Postgres. The biggest one? Moving from a process-per-connection model to a thread-per-connection model.
This is a holy grail topic for database nerds. Postgres famously forks a new operating system process for every single client connection. This was a great design choice 30 years ago for stability, but today it takes up a lot of memory and makes connection pooling a nightmare. Mollisper claims this new threaded model is 50% faster than Postgres on transaction workloads and up to 300 times faster on analytical workloads.
But the Hacker News crowd immediately zeroed in on the trade-offs. A user named Film42 pointed out that while threads are better for performance, the process model is what makes Postgres so incredibly resilient. If you load a sketchy extension into Postgres and it segfaults, it only crashes that one process, not the whole database.
Well, another user actually corrected that, pointing out that because Postgres uses a shared memory pool, if a subprocess dies unexpectedly, Postgres actually kills all the other processes, enters recovery mode, and replays the write-ahead log just to be safe. So it is effectively an online restart anyway.
The author, Mollisper, defended the thread model by explaining the overhead of parallel queries in a process model. When Postgres does a parallel hash join, it has to have each worker build a local hash table, then copy those tuples through shared memory to the leader to construct a new hash table. You are hashing the data multiple times just to cross process boundaries. With threads, they all share the same address space, which is how PGREST is achieving those insane analytical speedups.
It is such a cool project. They are keeping the external behavior exactly Postgres-shaped, so it passes the 46,000 regression queries, but completely gutting and modernizing the internals. It is still in the experimental phase, but it shows the power of combining Rust with AI coding tools to tackle legacy codebases that were previously considered too massive to rewrite.
For our final story today, we have a Show HN that got over 900 points. It is a daily word challenge game called 18 Words. It's a really clean, simple browser game where you have to unscramble words.
It sounds simple, but it started a massive philosophical debate about user interface and game design. The creator, Pom Pom Sheep, popped into the thread to ask for feedback, specifically about the timer mechanic. In the game, you have 30 seconds to guess the word, and if you fail, the run is over.
The community was completely split on this. Some people absolutely hated the timer. A user named LatexR said that sometimes people just want to kill a few minutes with a simple puzzle without being stressed out. They argued that because you cannot repeat the challenges, you have to be highly engaged the whole time, which ruins the chill vibe of a morning coffee game.
On the flip side, a lot of people defended the timer. A user named Unholiness said the countdown actually makes the game less stressful because it resets to 30 seconds for every word. They pointed out that if it counted up, you would be constantly sweating about your overall time. The countdown forces you to just focus on the word in front of you, and it provides a hard stop so you don't waste an hour staring at your screen.
It is a classic product design dilemma. Do you cater to the hardcore players who want a survival mode challenge or the casual players who just want a relaxing brain teaser? The consensus seemed to be that the game needs a timeless mode, or at least a way to continue playing the daily puzzle even if you fail a word, maybe just disqualifying you from the leaderboard. It is a great reminder that even the simplest apps require deep thought about user psychology.
Absolutely. And that wraps up our coverage for today. From the halls of the EU Parliament to the architectural depths of Postgres, it was a heavy day on Hacker News.
Thanks so much for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.